his ears down flat. Long before you take this cowboy's.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. I'd like to give a big shout out to Kyle Whitmire, Fighting the War on Dumb, who I understand may be listening to this segment, probably on podcast. So, Kyle, missed talking to you, buddy. Hit me up sometime. But joining us now on the program, we do this every Friday, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, is with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And do you really miss it that much, Jeff?
I know. No, he knows I don't. That's what makes it great.
Well, it's good to be with you.
Well, he and I kind of fell out of sorts after Roy Moore, Doug Jones, and I think it was more it was my fault completely. But we have not, and then I take it some really done some really mean things to him over the years. But I guess he's laughing at me with his Pulitzer Prize or whatever. So that's fine, whatever. But you had a little bit of a run-in with him, which when you put out your tweet, Senator, my text messages lit up. Like, you believe what he said to Kyle Whitmire?
Well, anybody that knows me or you knows that that is not the question to be asking. I try to respond and talk to all the journalists. I mean, the folks on the right, the folks on the left, the folks in the middle. And I was just really taken aback by his approach and, you know, this kind of whole gotcha line of questioning. It was just like, man, do you want my side of things or do you just want to, you know, paint it with a nasty, horrible brush? And I guess, you know, I was just surprised at the disdain for somebody who purports to love Alabama, but really disdains the people of the state of Alabama and what they think. And that just, I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way. I haven't seen his column yet. I'm sure it'll be, it'll be rough. But
I mean, for better or for worse, you got elected. Some would say for the worse, but I'll say for the better. But you are a reflection of what your constituents think, because you got elected, you won the election. And this is across the board, not just you, when it comes to guys like Whitmire, that they don't think that guys like you ought to be elected, that the stupid people of Alabama keep electing guys like you. And they had disdain by extension of having disdain for you and other politicians for the people who elected you. And that's what drives me crazy. It's like, look, I have my belief system, but I think at some point you've got to be deferential to the beliefs of the people in the state that your customers, and they're just not. They're not willing to accept anything, it seems.
Well, you're exactly right. And I guess it's a difference in thinking about what the job is, right? I believe that my job is the people's representative to the government, not the government's representative to the people. And I think some on the left all too often think that it's the other way around, right? That we should be the government going down and explaining, if you will, to the people what we're doing. And I don't think that's the job at all. I think my job is to be the people's representative to the government of the state of Alabama. That's what I try to do every day.
Yeah, well, I think that's well said, but it's just that is like the fundamental thing where I have such a struggle and such disdain. And I was kind of told, hey, you need to back off of those guys. You've been way too mean to them over the years. But that's what the fundamental thing is. It's just they have such animosity toward not just the political class, but the people who do put the political class in place, and that they just you people don't know any better. Therefore, or we're really mad at you for electing guys that don't want to just give a blank check to the Department of Archives and History or whatever the bureaucracy is.
Yeah, that's not my method. That's not my mandate, and that's not how I'm going to run things. And you know, if he wants to run for office, there's a spot on the ballot.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Let's get into this. We're kicking off with gambling, and that's getting a lot of buzz right now. I was at an event in Birmingham this week, and Senator, tell me if this is something you're hearing that. The House is working on their bill and is probably overdue. The House is where the Senate efforts have gone to die. So let's just let the House take their turn first. And then it's probably a lot easier for us to work it out in the Senate if we have issues. But It sounds like a lot like the bill that was tried a couple of years ago with the casinos and the lottery, but they want to attach along with it like some kind of Medicaid expansion, maybe not Medicaid expansion in name, but money for health care that's going to go into Medicaid, which essentially will be Medicaid expansion. You hearing anything like that on this gambling discussion?
You know, there's three main issues when you start talking about gambling, right? There's the lottery, which I won't say everybody's in favor of, but the vast majority of Alabamians are in favor of a paper lottery where you go to the convenience store and buy a ticket and participate either in the Powerball or just the statewide, you know, lottery here in Alabama. That's something that I think has broad support. Then you get into the issues of table games and expanding other types of gambling, including sports betting. And that's where things get really sticky and people get sideways really easily because there's not nearly as much support for widespread support for table games, you know, full-fledged casino gambling, where that casino gambling is allowed to take place. Is it just a few sites? Is it, you know, are we picking winners and losers, or is it statewide? Anybody can do it. And then you add in the sports betting on top of that. And then the last issue is, quite simply, where does the money go, right? Does it go to healthcare? Does it go to specifically to mental health? You know, does it go to infrastructure funding, which, you know, personally, I think is a good idea. Or does it go to education? I think the education trust fund budget is the only thing that's seen huge increases year over year over year. We're going to have a $2.2 billion surplus this year of all the places in state government that may need revenue. I don't think that's it. But that's another sticky area is where the money goes. So it's going to be interesting how the House negotiates all of that. My concern is that they come out with something that is a little bit of everything. And my experience has been when it's a little bit of everything, you don't move the needle on fixing any one thing. And it is because the money is just so diluted. You end up adding things into the bill that make, you know, that are just do or die for one or two people that cost you votes. And you end up with no solution at all. And I say that from experience. We've done this twice in the Senate, and it's complicated. I voted no against the first bill, and I voted for the second bill because it got marginally better. It was headed in the right direction. Some of the changes I wanted to see were made. But this is a whole new animal starting in the House with a whole new bunch of negotiations as far as, you know, the casino gambling, the sports betting, and the distribution of funds. So we're just going to have to see what they come up with and what the appetite is in the Senate with a lot of key senators missing.
Well, here, and we'll get into the try to do a little vote counting here in a second, but what it sounds like to me, and this is kind of the trend here, the stories we're seeing, The justification is not going to be necessarily, hey, look at all the free revenue we're going to get from gaming, which is, I think, a canard. But that we better do this or something bad's going to happen because gambling in the state of Alabama is out of control. It's rampant. It could lead to crime. We could be, 1920s Chicago or Al Capone or something if we don't get a handle on this, that we have to do this for the sake of public safety. We don't need these speakeasy casinos or whatever all around the state. And I'm sure that's a problem. I'm not discounting that, but I don't know that that's going to quite meet the level of concern that's going to get this through into law.
Yeah, that's a fair concern that there is gaming going on in the state, that it is unregulated, that there is a lot of unlawful, illegal gaming going on in the state, and that the state's losing revenue because it's not regulating that. And those are all fair points to make. I'm just not sure that the solution to that is add more gaming. I don't know that works, right? This fire is burning hot. We need to put more gasoline on it. I'm not sure that's the way to go. Look, that's a fair argument. Yes, let's control the gaming. I can get on board with that. I'm not sure that an expansion of gaming is the way you control it. I don't know that those two arguments go together. They may be able to stand alone, but one doesn't necessarily justify the other in my mind.
Well, and we're talking about votes, and you know, the audience has heard me explain this 100 times, but we'll get to kind of walk through this real quick. The problem, at least with leadership when they tried to do gambling in the past, has been this, that you always are going to have a number of Republicans who are never gamers, never gambling, never, no, 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 not going to vote for it. So in order to get something passed that involves gambling, you got to change the Alabama Constitution. That requires a supermajority three-fifths vote. Where do you go to get the votes? Well, if you don't have all the Republicans, you got to start kind of looking over there at your buddies on the other side of the aisle, on the Democrat side, and getting them to come along is there's a lot of horse trading going on, and that's where it becomes problematic, it seems. But if we just look at this senator, the key votes you mentioned, and I'll say their names, with Tom Watley gone, with Del Marsh gone, with Jim McClendon gone, those are three pretty solid pro-gaming votes there. I don't know where the new members are, but I don't think they're as locked in as those three were, had been in the past.
Well, and no disrespect to the new members, but they don't have the seniority that those members had, those members you mentioned had either. I mean, Del Marsh was the president of the pro tem of the Senate. You know, he got and helped a lot of the sitting senators get elected and helped, you know, fundraise for them. Senator McClendon was very well respected, you know, chairman of reapportionment committee at a time when reapportionment really mattered. And look, at the end of the day, those were two of gaming's biggest champions in the upper chamber. And with them not being there, you have to wonder who are the champions for gaming? Who are the ones that are going to be pushing this bill? And I think that it's no secret that's going to be Senator Albritton, that has had gaming legislation before, but he does not have Senator McClendon or Senator Marsh or Senator Watley there that are really these staunch advocates for the expansion of gaming in Alabama. And so it will be curious to see what the new vote count looks like in the Senate. And honestly, Jeff, that's a fair calculation to make in the House too. You know, we've got six new senators in this quadrennium in the Senate, but the House had almost a third, new senators or new House members rather. And so that's a big number of people to kind of talk to and flesh out where they are on this issue, because what their previous, the previous office holder spot was, doesn't matter anymore. So spin the wheel. Here we go again.
Well, and I'll say this about the House. Now, I don't know, if we just look at it at face value, are they pro or anti-gaming or whatever? But this is the problem. The House, Ledbetter's shown that he can get his caucus to come along when he needs to. Like, he can get them to march in lockstep. At least in that first year, he did. There were a lot of unanimous votes that he got through. I think that whatever they got to do to kind of twist arms and get people to come along, I think you get that in the House. The Senate's not going to be that easy. They're not as cooperative. They're not as willing to go along with whatever leadership tells them to do. There's a lot more to get the Senate moving, whereas the problem in the past, right, was always there's fewer senators and y'all could kind of work something out. And then the House was just didn't deal with it. But I can't see the House sending a bill upstairs and you guys just rubber stamping it at all.
No, I don't think that'll be the case. And then, of course, then that process has got to go back downstairs. And, you know, my concern, I guess, is with as complicated this as this is, and as much back and forth is likely going to have to happen. And especially in the Senate, the negotiation, you know, the path to getting this passed is going to require negotiation with each and every senator who's not, committed one way or the other to the concept, to get their vote, to gain their vote. And then for that process to then go back downstairs where it could be changed yet again and have to be reconciled, maybe in conference or something else. Those are key issues. Those are key, they take up a lot of time too. And that's a concern in a session that's coming up in front of a presidential election. You know, we have to be careful about what we're focused on. And if the House is focused on this, is the Senate as focused on it? I just don't know that it is. I could read that wrong, but I think that the attitude upstairs in the upper chamber is simply to wait, see what our colleagues in the House are able to work out, and then take that and digest that. but it could be a bill that takes literally all session to pass if it does pass at all.
Well, tell me this. It seems like the push, the rush, is to get it on the general election ballot in the presidential cycle. Do you think that's a good idea or a bad idea?
I think that's a horrible idea. I would not want this to be on the general election cycle, and I think that has implications when we start talking about our congressional elections, too. So I'm not in favor of rushing this through to get it on this cycle. I don't think that's necessary. I do want to get to something that allows the people to vote on a lottery, but I think there are a number of problems with pushing this to get on the presidential cycle this year, and I would be opposed to that.
Yeah, I even think about that. If you have a Democrat election cycle or this purple AL2, right? That the possibility that gambling on the ballot may drive up Democrat turnout, and then you interfere with the Republicans' chances there, maybe?
Look, that's a political distinction, and that is the basis for my argument there. But at the end of the day, this is the game we play, and it's politics, and yes, that's my underlying reasoning.
Yeah, that's such a great point that we haven't even talked about or thought about. But hopefully you and your colleagues realize that when you meet coming up next year. Hey, Senator, we have done it again. We have ran into the out of time, but we do appreciate you making time for us every week.
You got it. We'll anxiously wait to see what Whitmire says about us.
Yeah. By the way, like I said, hit me up sometime, Kyle. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.